I didn't do that. You know, I told you about, I carried one bag of cement and I went under. You know. Never tried it again. Praise God. He just put it on there. It's amazing. I look at him, I said, are you telling Cartoon Network story or something? And he just, let's clap our hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good. He will sustain us anywhere. Praise God. Let's just pray. Can we just lift our hands and say, thank you for how far you have taken me. Thank you for what you have done, you know. Thank you for the help. I don't know what level, what degree, what type of endurance, what type of patience, what type of putting up with things that you have to do. I just want you to trust the Lord, believe that he has much more ahead of us. I don't know what it is. I don't know what you have had to endure. Relational, emotional, physical, financial. Can we just say, Lord, thank you that I'm here today just by your doing. And like he said, there are greater levels of reigning and influence. And Lord, please prepare me. It may not be physical burden you have to carry again, but can you just trust him that, Lord, I'm depending on you to take me further. That whatever I need to endure, kind of hardship, I will pay the price and I will keep moving on. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We give you all the glory. Can you just pray for that person next to me and say, Lord, I pray that you'll be inspired by hope. Hope will keep alive, will be burning alive in his heart. You know, Abraham was 75 years old. God put a hope of a land in his heart. Moses was 80 years old. God put a dream of deliverance of people in his heart. You know, Jesus was sent from heaven with a hope of saving the world. And those hope never disappointed. Can we just pray that that person, the hope will be kept alive. The hope will keep burning. Paul called Jesus our hope. That they will see their hope in the Lord. They will see Jesus as the center of hope. You know, Jeremiah said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Whose hope is the Lord? Is I be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that spread out its roots. Is I not suffer heat in the year of drought. It will never cease yielding fruit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Our hope, Lord, we pray that each one of us will be vibrant in hope. We will abound in hope. We will increase in hope. Our hope will not only just stay within us, it will, you know, pour over around us and affect those who are around us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. May our lives keep on inspiring others in Jesus' name. Praise God. I want to talk about something that will help us in all this area. You know, we've been looking at Peter as a person. I want you to show another level of endurance in a way. One of the things God has done for us is to save us. But if you notice that none of us, after we are saved, we are taken to heaven immediately. Why did he leave us here? Why is he allowing us to stay here? Like somebody said, why did God have to allow Israel to go through the wilderness to the promised land? Why? Yes, the promised land is important. The prophet just said, he wants us to be a person of character than a person of comfort. So while we are enduring, certain things we need to do with our lives. The promised land is not the problem at all. And somebody said that God took them out of Egypt, but when they got to the promised land, the Egypt in them messed up the promised land. So God had to pause in the wilderness to try and get Egypt out of them. A whole lot didn't allow God. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is what we call full package of our salvation. Full package of our salvation. We if you look at verse 23, 1 Peter 1, 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are eternal, because of everlasting life that has come to us. And that eternal or eternity is on the good side. And the word of God gave back to us, so we are forever. We are with the Father, and we have grace unending. You know, our physical body came out of physical seed of our parents, and that's corruptible seed. Let's look at next verse. What's this seed? Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. Stop there. Now, all of us know as we get older, this thing called the physical frame, we start looking differently. Somebody was in my office recently and it was a little bit, he's been around me, we've been in church for a couple of years. And he said, and he now sat before me. He said, Reverend, he said, this was laughing. He said, I always see you as younger, but when I got closer, I'm seeing you are getting older. And that's normal. That's okay. Praise God. I don't have to deny that. I don't have to deny that. Sometimes when you take your selfie, you wish it's not your selfie. Am I right? Things have reshaped themselves one way or the other. So that's normal. All flesh is as grass. The flower is our beauty. And the grass withers. The flower fades. But let's keep look at next verse. But the word of the Lord, what does it do? Endures forever. There's nothing as beautiful as keeping the faith. Honestly, there's nothing as beautiful as traveling with Jesus and maintain the freshness and vitality. There's nothing as beautiful as that. Whatever else you are going to get in life, you become as being. You retire. They will ask you to go home. And if you don't want to go home, death will send you home, one way or the other. Now, I just read all this beautiful thing. Born again, eternal. But why has God left us here? Why has he? And this is one of the biggest things I want us to learn as we get older. Why are we here? Is it just to get old? Live out our time, retire, see our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and live here? I don't think so. I think that's a bigger project of our lives. As a life, not just as what we do. Yeah, we're going to have accomplishments. I believe that the greatest project is what Peter talked about next in chapter 2. Look at verse 1, chapter 2. Therefore, give us chapter 2. Therefore, this gorgeous, magnificent life, therefore, from that conclusion of being born again, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Let's keep reading. As newborn babes, to reconstruct our life, to make it look a fantastic project. Desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Look at next verse. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There's something about salvation. If you remember how you got saved, how that change came, how you, like somebody said, when I got saved, the grass got greener. The sky get bluer. You know, you came to the Lord, you repented, you look at your life, but Bible says that's a taste. You can never compare the taste of a food to the old meal. And, you know, let me tell you, my greatest frustration as a pastor is that people never proceed beyond the gates of salvation. They just stop there and 40s, 50s, the things that characterized them when they were 25, 30 were still persisting in their lives. And they were not giving way to better things in the new frame. Are you hearing me? I'm a work in progress. But you know, it's not sweet to sit down with a daughter of someone who is born again for 25, 30 years, and you hear things that will bug you. You wonder, wow, what's going on? Or a friend or a family member, whatever, or an associate at work. And honestly, I don't blame us, because in our country, we emphasize what we do more than who we are becoming. But what we are going to take out of life is not what we do or what we have, it's who we are becoming. Who are we becoming as a person? You know, one day my mother gave me one of the best compliments I ever had in my life. Today will change you. You know what I mean? She gave back to me. She saw my selfishness, my rudeness, my unconcerned attitude when I was growing younger. I remember when I was living Ivory Coast, my brother left first, who was a crying baby. Anything happened to cry, my mother is so compassionate. And my mother was following the vehicle my brother was inside, and they were both weeping. And when my turn came, I picked my portmanteau. I'm not familiar with my portmanteau. You know, threw it to the car and would you be down? I told my mother, Mama, are you in Nigeria? You know what she said? Momoti Ebe. And to see me now concerned, breaking down, and really trying to see to that someone, the change. And I give that credit not to myself, because I'm still that stupid idiot boy. Said Jesus. So one of the things that what you have had is a taste. We need to go further and eat this meal, praise God. Thou preparest a table before me. It's just more than dollars and pounds sterling. Are you hearing me? There are things to be on the table that we need to eat, and certain things we need to avoid. We've not been eating from the dustbin all our life before we came to Christ. At best, all of us on this earth, morally speaking, we are eating from dustbin. So when we are given a new birth, you remember when a child is born, what they do first is to start washing the baby. Am I right, sir? They start washing, getting things off from that place where she or he was coming from. So Peter was saying, I met Christ too, but I was a basket case. But when the Lord finished with me, I'm now a bountiful measure. Praise God, somebody. And there are certain things we have to do. We have been given this opportunity, this side of heaven. We have been given this chance, this side of heaven, to do some repair in our lives. And let's go and see that. 1 Peter 2. Look at verse 1 again. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speaking. You know, Bible began to itemize Peter, being our senior colleague, first on the line among the apostles, had had Jesus' hands on him more than anybody else among the apostles. And he was saying that there's something you're going to have to do in building this gorgeous house. You know, when we are building this place, what we did first was not just to build the house. We first have to clear and start digging and start removing things. And you know what? You know what? When we are growing up, we call our fiancé future partner. I mean, if you remember those days, future partner. Now, they don't call themselves future partner. I don't know what they call themselves now. Whatever, you know. But we believe that there is a future for us. But that future is just more than the comfort we enjoy, the technology of the phone we carry, but the kind of person we are becoming. And to become that kind of person, that's where we are offered salvation. Salvation is a package that actually totally changes us forever. I mean, it's able to save us to the outermost. So the first thing I want us to see is that laying aside certain things that will not help us to live this Christian life well, that will not, like now, if you have a farm, if you don't clear the ground, remove the weeds, it will stunt the growth. The ground won't come out with its best. So he said, you know, he didn't go through a lot of these physical things people talk about today, like rape. That's a capital sin today, things like that. But he started mentioning things like malice. All types of malice. You would call that one eternal. You know, one of the beauty of Old Testament that we don't have in the New is that you will see characters living out their lives. You see people, different things. We don't have that so much in the New Testament. But if you, I love the New Testament like that. It's a beautiful place of learning. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10 to just prove that. Verse 11. Now, 10 verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. I'm just going to run through. Now, all these things happened to them, that's under the New Testament, as examples and they were, or give us verse 1 to make it clearer. Now, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. Next verse. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So you could see that all ate the same spiritual food. Follow this. He was talking about all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Wow. But look at next verse. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Look at verse 11. Now, these things became our examples. So, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lust them. So, they were graphic examples, and our real movies are not those magic. Today, people are wasting their time on African magic. They want to learn lessons of how to. But those are fallen stories. They don't carry the truth. They talk about things that you can sit down and learn, but they don't have power in them to change your life. But the stories in this Bible, they are empowered with inner energy to change us. So when you spend more time watching movies, you think you are learning, but you're not really learning, because they cannot influence you. It's man to man. But these stories are God to man. Praise God, somebody. Let's look at the word. Back to 1 Peter 2, verse 1. It said, laying aside all malice. You see, you have to lay it aside. It didn't say something else. He said, lay it aside. That means he wants to cling to us. One of the understanding you must have is that these things that are negative, they are around us. They don't go to disappear. Please listen to that. If you see somebody who doesn't get angry, it's not because anger is not around them. They on purpose distance themselves and pull it aside. That you have to do through life. So he said, laying aside all malice. Let's look at malice. Who can give us an example of that under the old? It's Cain and Abel. You see, when Cain offered his sacrifice, it was not accepted. And when Abel offered his own, the beginning of it was malice. He began to feel eternal to this boy. How could God get his own and don't get my own? And it's not Cain. It's not Abel that accepted the sacrifice. It was God. But you see, a lot of time, like Israel people will have problem with God and will attack Moses for it because he's the man of God. So malice is, I begin to feel bitter toward you because of something that is going on or something you have done, something that may be either good or bad relative to me. And it got so bad that he began to feel that thing so deep that God said, hey, watch over this. Don't let this overtake you or else you will. But he didn't listen and he became the first killer in the Bible. And then you know what? That character defect affected his comfort all through life. You'll be a fugitive and a vagabond. You will never settle down. You'll be jackpying forever. It's good to jackpot to UK. But leave UK, Finland to Czech, Czech to Poland, Poland to Balma Setudan. Praise God. So number one, malice, bitterness. Number two, deceit. On purpose, let us start laying aside deceit. As a woman, you don't have to lie to your husband. You don't have to lie at work. That's our old framework. Now, somebody said, everybody is doing it. You are right. Because everybody is in this old system that are not working towards our vision. But we are working towards our vision. We are going to heaven. Am I right? And we are going to be heavenly as we go there. Praise God, somebody. So, deceit, we must try and avoid that by all means. You see, deceit, you can see it in the Bible. Deception. For instance, the 10 brothers deceived their father. They sold Joseph out of malice. Huh? But then they came back and said, Daddy, one lion, see, they took the clothes, soaked it in blood, gave it to their father. They got it perfected. Man, that boy died. And 30 or 40, 50 years later, resurrected. Now, wait. That was a body. How do you go back? Joseph is alive. I mean, that Joseph is alive. So you can see that, but thank God they swallowed their pride. Huh? One of the greatest lessons I learned in life, you can always repair anything. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you the whole truth. Huh? Praise God. Oh, man, that's not what we bought it. What's the difficulty about that? They will know that they are like me, I'm like them. We all have struggles. But said, sincerely laying aside all deceit. Now, hypocrisy, Jesus hate that with passion. The Pharisees and Jesus, look at Luke 12 verse 1. Give us Luke 12 verse 1. This was uppermost in the mind of Jesus. He fought Pharisees on this more than anything else. After these things, I said Luke 12 verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, please watch this, so that they trample one another, Jesus began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is projecting what you are not. Like, you claim you are fasting and you got food in the room, plenty. I was just told that people eat more during the month of fast than other time. You know, the atmosphere makes us hypocrites. You go to a church, they say, pray now, you better pray. And when you pray like this, they say, no, pray. So, you know, you live in this among friends. Oh, you read the Bible. You better read the Bible. You know, you don't want to read the Bible. So you pretend you are reading the Bible. Like one of my, when I was in school in Idiaraba, you know, we have a place where we call code room, where we read. This guy was reading. And he was reading. And he went to the toilet. Before he came back, somebody opened the book to another page. And he came back and he kept on reading. We know he was not reading. That's hypocrisy. He's play acting. Life is a drama to him. He just playing game. Praise God. Let's go back quickly to 1 Peter 2. So he said, we should lay aside malice. We can see that in Cain. 1 Peter 2 verse 1. He said, we should lay aside deceit. We can see Joseph's brother, this hypocrisy. Oh, we can see the Pharisees, their stuff over there. And then envy. Now, you will not believe this. The Bible said the high priest killed Jesus out of envy. You think that maybe something Satan just came? No, just out of envy. The Bible said when the apostles began to minister and they were raking all the money in Jerusalem, the Bible said out of envy, the high priest took hold of them because they are having more crowd than we do. That's one thing I had to get God to cure me from as ministers. We get envious of one another. We look around. Otigba PhD before me. Otigba Kenekon before me. Otis something before me. How am I going to cope with that? Oh, that church, that young man. I was there when he got born again. I led him to Christ. You know, just leave that alone and just live for God. Amen, somebody. I know it's not easy. Sometimes this cloth, we have to remove some of this envy. It's like this new cloth they're making for us now. You know, there's some of this new cloth that you have to struggle to remove. You know, I have this cloth that we wear when I was a couple of years ago that they are big. You just like that, remove it. So, but this one, you have to sit down. And sometimes your wife will help you pull it. sometimes I wear this cloth when they sew it for me like that. I have to do like this, throw it to go back and start. You know, just another big one. Envy is like that. It sticks so close to us that we have to bend, move, and don't say anything until we finish with it. And of course, evil speaking. Let me show you a picture of evil speaking I saw. Let's go to 1 Samuel 20 or thereabout. Glory to Jesus. This was Saul. You know, evil speaking. One of the things that can really downgrade one, both potentially and among people, is evil speaking. I'll show you a type of it. You know, sometimes somebody, you've been there before, somebody you highly respect, they just off the microphone or something like that. They just say, that happens today. They just pick them on either TikTok or something. They just show, how could you have, you know, said that? How could that have happened?
A lot of ministers, UK ministers, have resigned from government for saying things off the cuff. Let's look at it. 1 Samuel 20. You know, Saul was chasing David and he just couldn't get hold of him. So he set up a feast and was thinking that when David get that there, he would get hold of him. But David was smart. He had wisdom of God. So he knew that that thing was a trap. So he told his friend Jonathan, who was son of the king, please, let me be excused. Let's see what your father will do. So the first day he was excused. Saul was okay. The second day, Saul asked, look at your Bible. Verse 26. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 26. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day. That's the first day. For he thought something has happened to David. He's unclean. Surely he's unclean. Next verse. And it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat? He asked yesterday. This is a royal feast where generals sat down, elders in the land were eating. David had a spot because he was the son-in-law of, and then also one of his commanders. So he said to Jonathan, is your son-in-law come to eat either today or yesterday? Next verse. Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. Next verse. And he said, please let me go. Our family has a sacrifice in the city. My brother has commanded me to be there. And now if I find favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore, he has gone, not come to the king's table. Look at what happened next. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan. And he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. That's his wife talking about. That's one thing I God just helped me. Not to just go crazy. I've gone crazy before. See that temptation to do that. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame? Come on, petty talk. Petty talk. That's unclean mouth. That's evil speaking. I mean, your mother's nakedness, if the woman is sitting down there, something's coming to my mind now. One of the most proper women in history is Queen Elizabeth. We missed her. Wow. Queen Elizabeth. I used to say that Mommy Ogudimu is like Queen Elizabeth. you know, see, Queen Elizabeth, you see that courage. You see that, oh, things will happen. See, just, and you know our children. Let's just stop that one there. You know, the king now will say things somewhere, someone will catch it and he says, no, royal. But Mama here was royal to the end. She was just, in fact, the days, before the days she died, she was still attending to government. She was about 93 before she died, or 96. I can't remember that. There was this properness. There was this thing that was just characterizing her. She made UK what it is today. Mama Charlie, that's what they call her over there. See, just this proper woman who in public, the only time they saw her, that the day when her husband died, and she had to sit alone by herself, wearing black at the funeral. There was this propriety about her, that her words were never caught. They may insinuate or something. The tabloid won't go after her. They go after all those other boys. You know? But see, there was this properness. I don't think she's that perfect. But I think she managed it well. I would say, let's clap for her. You know, she managed it well. You know. So, what should we do? How do we tackle all this? Let's round. I have to stop now because they're just saying, let's go back to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. So this is our project. This is our personal project. Laying aside, one of the things that as you get older, your eyes are opening better. You see, when I was younger, when I get angry, somebody say, you're angry. I'll get angry for the person saying, I'm angry. Are you? That's a sign of you're not growing. Oh, you just lied. How can you say that to me? How can you say, this is not right. In my younger days, I do that. You still put up a front, but you go back and think about it. Now, the person who told me, when I got closer, you're looking older. Before, I would have been offended. Oh, what's your mistake? I'm ever young. I never think I'm going to come. But I'm really getting older in truth. Do you get that? So, learning as you get older, the beauty of life is to welcome issues and solve them. To take things and say, oh, yeah. You see, when you are younger, you are afraid of that you'll be exposed. Now, everything's exposed now. You know everybody. You know what's going on. So, you can just tackle it as well. Is that all right? You know, honestly, nothing will shock me. What will only shock me now that the Father has left the throne and Christ no longer our Savior? That's nothing else will shock me. Like one of my teachers, he said, if I hear that my two deacons faithful in church start fighting, he said, I will not worry my head. When they finish fighting, I'll call them and say, let's go for forgiveness and go on with God. What are we going to do? Because we are all in this project changing. But let's know what we need to put aside. Aside malice. Identify, later aside, deceit. Hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. What should we do? How do we do that very well? Look at next verse, and then we round up. We have a song, choir. Verse 2. Quickly. As newborn babes, never grow old. Never grow old. Always be like a baby, desiring the pure milk of the word. That word desire there is to covet, is to go earnestly after. That's one thing I pray, that my sucking reflex to suck the breast of the word of God will never stop. You can say this to doctors. When a child does not suck well, that's a problem, sir. Am I right, sir? That's a problem. So there must be this sucking. All of us must have this, being able to suck the word of God. Any Christian who is not sucking, who is not taking the word of God seriously, no wonder our country today is in this mess we are in. We grow up where the word of God is number one, not what our father said. We will read the word and compare and contrast with what they said, and we argue over it. And there was no quarrel about that. And so, desiring, do you know the only clear thing is this book. My teaching may not be clear. But the only clear thing, so this is the pure milk, that you may grow thereby. Can we have it in Message Bible? Give us this verse in Message Bible. That you may grow thereby. Now, like infant at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness, which is his word. Then you will grow up, what? Mature and whole. You know, the greatest thing I want in my life is to get more mature and whole. You know why? I noticed that the little maturity I've had, it has affected things around me. My family, my friends, you know, the church. I noticed that this small thing is affecting, it better affect us more. I mean, the little growth I've had with the preaching team has brought us this far. You know, so I better go for more. I better, you know, the little time, like this morning, you know, I told you, you were laughing over me yesterday. One of my dreams that when I was young, that when I get married, I'll be lying on the bed and my wife will meet me with tea. That she will just come with the tea and wake me up, darling. A couple of weeks ago, I was living the dream in reverse. My wife was sleeping, and I started making tea, and I took the tea to her on the bed. I said to her, Musa, what's wrong with you? You're living your dream in reverse. Hallelujah. So this morning when we woke up, my wife said, my voice is pitching second service. See, I think the weather changed in the night, and I was starting running around to make tea for her. You know, so before I came, she said, please go. So I tried to get some hot water. They just, you don't have a service. You know, so, you know, she's happier. Those days was not happy like that. So the little growth maturity I've made is making impact. I better do that some more. I mean, something that will make me mad, make me angry, that I will suck for a whole day and affect my spiritual life, affect my friends, I will not pick up my phone. I'm like, now, and I'm picking up myself after 2 hours. I mean, I'm enjoying that. So, look at this, what's going on in our country today. I would have gotten tired and go to Lagos in my younger days. I can pack every minute, Sunday morning and remember. I just disappear. Leave it to my wife to handle. But now, praise God. How many of you have noticed that in your life? Little bit of growth, maturity. Can I see your hands? Things have gotten better through that. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Let's desire some more. Amen. Amen. I hope my rumbling around this morning has made some things to be happening to our spiritual life. Can we lift up our hands and say, Father, thank you. I want to grow more. I can never outgrow growth. I can never outgrow maturity. Lord, please help me. This project of my life is gorgeous. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, I know my circumstances will change for the better as I change personally within. So help me to develop all these virtues. Help me to lay aside devices. Help me to develop from your word. Let the meek of your word produce that maturity and wholeness in me. Lord, please, I cry out for the meek more. I cry out for more of your truth. I cry more for your revelation to come change my life. I cry that my mind, my thoughts, come sing holiness. Holiness is what I desire. Holiness is what I need. Change my heart. Change my mind. Change my will. Oh, Jesus. Please put them on.
Holiness.
Holiness.
Is what I long for.
Holiness.
Holiness.
It's what I need.
Is what I need.
Oh.
What you want from me.
Sing it again. Holiness. Through the wilderness to know what is in your heart so I can test you and I can remove things and put things inside there. So help us daily. This we cannot do by ourselves. It's the work of your spirit, the work of your word, and we open ourselves to you. Do it more, because this is what will bless our land. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. Choir will sing next few minutes. You know, somebody said the word holiness is from an old English word for wholeness. Wholeness. It's actually a description of wholeness and maturity. But it, over the years, been transformed to holiness. You know, so, but it's actually whole. When we say the Lord is holy, the Lord is perfect, the Lord is complete, the Lord is mature in all his ways, it cannot do like childish thing will do. Praise God. Let's bring out our offering, give this morning, while the choir will just sing. Dear Father, thank you. We give our seed. Thank you for the harvest. Thank you for this time in our country. Thank you for showing yourself strong in our lives. Thank you for being our provider. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Mighty warrior, great in battle, Jesus, you're the most almighty one. Mighty warrior, great in battle, Jesus, you're the God of all of the world.
Mighty warrior,
Jesus,
great in battle,
Jesus,
you're the master of the universe. Mighty warrior, great in battle, Jesus, you're the master of.
master of the universe, the master of the world.
Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Bless you. Samuji. Are we reading healing? Oh, healing. Yeah, that's what I was expecting. Thank you. I pray about that. Lesson 89. 29. Okay, all right.
Good morning, church. God wants to heal all. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. People who say God doesn't heal anymore evidently never read the Bible. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same now as he's ever been. So if Jesus healed while he walked on this earth, he still heals today. Most people believe it's God's will to heal some. But the big question remains, is it God's will to heal all? Some say, well, that can't be true because brother so-and-so didn't get healed. If we go by people's experiences, we may conclude it isn't God's will to heal everyone, but we must gather all the experience, tradition, doctrine, theory, and denominationalism we've ever heard and push it aside. We must look at nothing but God's word and find out what God has to say. For example, if you wanted to know my will about something, I hope you wouldn't go ask some guy on the street corner who doesn't know me. There is no telling what that person would say. Yet, most of us have done that with God. When we wanted to know God's will, we've sometimes gone to people who don't know him. They may have given us wild opinions, not having the faintest idea what the Bible says. To find God's will on a subject, we must go to Jesus, the express image of God. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. John 14:9. He also said, the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Thank God, the Bible is truth, and it says, God heals all. Confession, let's say it together. The truth is, God wants to heal me. I found it in the word. I know it's God's will. So I believe I receive my healing now. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Samuji. You know what we're going to do now? Just excuse me. We are going to just do that exactly. The famous verse we usually quote, 3 John 2. Let's take a look at it again one more time. And this is what we're going to do. Excuse me. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be where? In health. One day I was shocked to discover that the last word on health, if you run through the whole Bible, is in this verse. You won't find that word health again to the book of Revelation. So the last word on health is that pray that you may be in health. So I would like you to look at that person next to you and say, Father, I pray that he will live in health. I pray that he will be in health. It will be in health. He said, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be. Father, I want him to be. I want him to live in health. So prayer can be, we can seek in prayer for health, not just healing now. Health, healthy living. Lord, thank you for health. Thank you for my sister. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my uncle. Thank you for my auntie. That health, his health will blossom. He will live and abide in health. He will stay in health. He will depend on you in the name of Jesus. That same purpose, let's come against sickness. If that's the will of God to live in health, say the person, I come against sickness and disease in the life of my sister, my brother, it will live, she will live in health. In the name, I agree with him. I agree with her to be in health and not otherwise. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We bless you. We worship, we adore you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Tell the person, thank you for praying for me. Praise God. Now, as we close, please use all that we have. What's going on here? Belumi, or whoever is there, you are entertaining us with your computer window stories. I beg, knock us out of this business. Can you do it without us seeing all this? I beg, thank you. Now, I just want to make a comment. Forgive me if I step on your toes. Please, let's come early for service. Some of us over here, we come only once a week. And we don't. If you don't come early, you don't participate in the worship. So when do you worship God? Together with other people in a week. We worship on Friday, we just come worship. But you don't come on Friday. So try and endeavor to come on Sunday to meet worship and worship God along with others. Is that all right? If you come on Friday, you can excuse and say, oh, I'm not able to make that. I can come Friday and worship God. So, and by the way, you don't have to miss the service. When you are coming from home by 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, put on your mixer, put on your, you can join along with us. I love singing along with Sister Uchi. Are you hearing me? You know, I was running late this morning, so I put her on in the car and then just praise God. Amen? So, let's get up on our feet and go home. Hallelujah. Our dear Father, thank you. Thank you for sustaining every one of us. Thank you. Just open your eyes a minute. Sorry for taking this time. God has been sustaining us. There was a family in church that something happened and one of their children just went to go and swallow sniper. And took her to the hospital, brought him dead. Second place, brought him dead. Third place, they took the person to the hospital. They said, dead. And they said, one man just appeared, one of the doctors said, no, they're still alive. And they resuscitated her. And she's okay today. God's sustaining us. God is keeping us. I said, I need to tell you this so you can hear some of the things that are going on in church. Not even in this service. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Tell the person, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. By the way, today is Royal Partners meeting. Yes, so please, you have your meeting at the normal place. Thank you for coming. Second service, please come in and take your seat. Hallelujah.